about to hear a Talking About Radio minicast. Your host, John Leslie, will spend the next few minutes opening an interesting file from his five decades of radio experiences.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Leslie. And in doing these minicasts or preparing for them and thinking about the 50 plus years that I was involved in the broadcasting business, mostly radio, I wanted to make a list of, or I did in fact make a list of events that occurred as a result of my time in broadcasting that I thought would be interesting to talk about. And I've got a legal pad here with like 5 pages or 6 pages of topics that I eventually want to do. But it was today when I was sitting down to do this, my wife came into the studio and she said, "Have you done one about the circus and the blind kids?" And I thought, I had forgotten all about that. And it probably was one of the most heartwarming broadcast events that I have ever done. It was truly, truly remarkable. And what happened was, I was working, this was about 1978, so it was a long time ago. And I was working at KSO in Des Moines doing the morning show, and we had some really remarkable ratings numbers at KSO. It was a country station. And so when you have a large audience, you're able to do a lot more things because people respond, greater numbers of people respond and help. And there was, in those days, there were a couple of circuses traveling around. One was Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, and the other was the Shriner Circus. Well, the Shriner Circus was coming to Des Moines, and I had this notion that there are a lot of children who are cyclists, who are blind, who can't go to the circus. Or if they go, all they can do is hear the music, but they can't enjoy the activities and the clowns and the acrobats and all of the things that go on in a circus. And so I decided that what I was going to do was a play-by-play of the circus to all of the blind children who responded to our invitation to attend. And in those days, we didn't have this low-power radio broadcast or internet or anything to hook up earpieces for the children. So I went, there was an organization called the Telephone Pioneers. And these were people who had worked for the phone company and wired up telephones in everybody's homes and businesses and so on. And they readily agreed to help me out. And what they did was they wired up, and I forget how many children we had. I'm guessing close to 100 totally blind children. And the Telephone Pioneers wired up an amplifier and wires to each of those seats and headset, big earphone headset to each one of those seats. We had prearranged for all of the kids to receive balloons, popcorn, clown dolls, and elephant dolls. And I was the narrator, and I did play-by-play of the circus. I described the clowns. I'm actually getting a little emotional thinking about this because it was just so wonderful. And I was not aware that a reporter for the Associated Press, who was sighted, actually sat in one of the seats with earphones on, but covered her eyes with a blindfold so that she could hear my play-by-play. And I'd never done anything like this before. And I didn't know quite how to describe everything that was going on. But somehow it came. Somehow I was able to do it. And I described the clowns, and we had prearranged for the clowns to actually come up and sit with the kids and let them feel their faces and their costumes and so on. And I was describing, you know, what they looked like and what they were wearing. Colors were a problem for me because I didn't know whether these children had, some of them probably had a sense of what color was. Others, perhaps when they were born blind, They wouldn't be able to associate anything with a color. But then let's, for example, then as part of the show, as part of the circus, these acrobats would come out and they would do somersaults and they would do a handstand. Now think about that. You're listening, right? And you have to, in your mind's eye, you're not seeing this. Maybe you've never seen before. And I'm saying, I can't say they're standing on their hands, because that would telegraph the image that they were standing upright with their hands under their feet. If I said they are standing on their hands, that is not an accurate description. And that's nothing that we learned in our years of descriptive broadcasting. So I would have to come up with, now this was a long time ago, and I said, you know, the acrobat is standing on her hands. And by that, I don't mean her hands are under her feet. Her hands are her feet, and her feet are straight up in the air, and her hands are flat on the ground, and she's balancing herself on her hands with her feet aimed at the ceiling. When it came time to describe the fezes on the Shriners' heads, the only thing I could think to say was, fezes are like upside-down flower pots on their head. And all of the children laughed. With each event, I had to manufacture in my mind and then say the best description that I could of what was going on. And then they brought out the elephants. And the elephants were parading around, and the music, you know, the band was playing, and everybody was clapping and cheering, and they brought the elephant over. And all of these kids got to pet the elephant. And that was the first time in their lives that they ever had that opportunity. And I was describing to them what the elephant looked like with its trunk and all of that, and the elephant trumpeted for us there. And it was just the best thing in the world. And I was sitting down in front. The kids were all behind me. And it was difficult for me to turn around and look at them because they were all smiling. They all had these huge grins on their face. And it was a long couple of hours. It was a very taxing endeavor. But it was just truly remarkable what we were able to do in the gift that was given to us and to me to be able to do that for those children. It's an event. I'm glad my wife Amity thought to mention this to me, because as I'm sitting here now thinking back to that and the joy that it brought to all of them and the joy that it brought to me. And as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that there was an Associated Press reporter embedded in that group, and I was totally unaware of it until it made the national news. She wrote the story and fed it out on their Associated Press network, and there had been a couple of photographers there, and they were taking pictures, and I didn't have time to think much about it. I thought maybe it was circus people. I thought maybe it could be the newspaper, but it was Associated Press photographers, and they had they took some close-ups of a few of the children, and then I guess later got permission from the parents to use them. And the reward of having done it was enough for me, because of the joy that I brought to those children. But then the added pleasure came when the story hit the national wire. It turns out that the photographers that I had seen were actually Associated Press photographers. And the photographs that accompanied the national story were just so great. They were photographs of close-ups of children with big grins on their face. And there was one particularly touching photograph that was taken with a clown sitting with one of the children, and the child was feeling the clown's face, and both the clown and the little boy had grins from ear to ear. The Associated Press reporter who had been embedded wrote in the text of the story, she said that even though I was wearing a blindfold and could not see the circus, listening to the narration, it lost none of the pleasure of the circus. It was no less exciting than if I was able to see it. What a great compliment. And the headline was, "The circus was in town for everybody."
This has been a Talking About Radio minicast with John Leslie. If you have an interesting story to share, record an MP3 file and send it to talkingaboutradio@yahoo.com.